Mark's Gospel again, please, in the chapter 9. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Tonight we're coming to a subject that is fearful, dreadful, and yet a subject that if I am going to be faithful to my calling and to the Lord, that I must bring. Mark chapter 9 in the verse 44, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A very, very sobering subject we want to deal with tonight. Subject of hell. That place where the fire never goes out. Will you pray? Will you pray with us now as we seek to bring this word that God has given to us? Deal with this subject tonight. I want you to see the solemnity of it. And may there be stillness in this place tonight. Stillness like never before. And may the Spirit of God strive tonight like never before. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to thy word, we just ask, O God, for thy help. Vain is the help of man. And therefore, O God, we cry unto thee this evening for the help of the Spirit of God to rightly divide the Scriptures. And Lord, that this night you would be pleased to take what will be the stammering words of man. And Lord, use thy word to speak and to convict. God, we pray that tonight every heart will be challenged. Every life will be spoken to. And Lord, that most of all tonight, those who are out of Christ, the Lord, that this night they will come to him. That this night they'll be saved. Give us help, therefore, we pray tonight. Help in the preaching and help in the hearing. And Lord, through it all, may the name of Christ be uplifted and magnified. Hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm sure we have all been taken aback this past week by the fires and the flames that engulfed the Primark building there in the centre of Belfast. That iconic building, which stood for many years in the heart of our capital city, which so quickly caught fire last Tuesday morning. And within a matter of hours, despite the best efforts of the firefighters, had engulfed the entire building. And when the flames did eventually die down, it was clear just the devastation and the destruction that those flames had ravaged upon that building. It was reduced to ruins. And no part of the bank buildings as they are known has been left untouched by the ravages of the flames. That building, which of course from a retail point of view stood at the heart of the city centre retail heart of it, is now only a shell. And it wasn't late until Friday evening when the fire service were able to eventually confirm that the fire had been put out. For over 3 days, pockets of flames were still burning at different places throughout the building. And the pictures of the building itself have been soul-destroying, I have to be honest. And the footage that we have seen from inside the building as well, as the shell of it is very clear, just to see what's left tonight and the effect that it has and will have on so many. We were all reminded of just how dangerous and destructive fire can be. Eventually that fire went out. That fire which started on Tuesday morning around 11 a.m. was eventually put out late on Friday evening. But tonight I want to speak of a fire that never goes out. I want to speak tonight of a place where the fire is never extinguished or quenched. We have been reading in these verses tonight of a place where the fire never goes out. That place is identified for us there in verse 43. At the end of the verse, it talks about going into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This chapter, this book tonight, speaks of a place where there is no release or no putting out of the fires that burn there. And tonight, by the help of God and by the enablement of His Holy Spirit, I want us to look tonight at that place where the fire never goes out. In different places throughout Scripture, hell has been described in different ways. Different terms are employed by the Spirit of God to describe this place of everlasting damnation. It's described as a bottomless pit. In other places, it's described as a place of darkness, a place of eternal torment, a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. But perhaps the most graphic of all descriptions is given here in verse 44 and in two other places as well at the end of this chapter. The fire is not quenched. And that little term there at the end of verse 44, the end of verse 46 as well, and at the end of verse 48... brings home to us tonight the awfulness and the agony of a place called hell. I want us to see, first of all, tonight, the reality of hell. The reality of hell. It's interesting how that everyone that you care to speak to believes in heaven. Everyone believes in that place of paradise and bliss, that place of beauty. And yet when you mention hell, you get told that it is only a figment of people's imagination. And really that there is no actual place called hell. Hell, to many tonight, is just a condition rather than an actual location. The awful rampant march of liberalism and modernism today has so diminished the Bible's teaching on hell and the whole doctrine of eternal punishment and the denial and the reality of hell, to the point tonight where so few believe in the reality of this place called hell. And yet, throughout the New Testament, there are over some 160 different references alone to hell. Christ Himself, during His earthly ministry, while He walked on this earth, over 70 different times referenced the reality and referred to the reality of hell. Now, there aren't many references to hell in the Old Testament. It is prefigured, most certainly. But Christ, during His earthly ministry, took so many opportunities to speak of hell. It was as if God wanted the most severe of warnings about the most severe of places to come from the lips of Christ himself. Hell is real tonight because Christ spoke of its reality. Christ is not a deceiver. He did not lead people astray by his speech or by his words. And when he speaks about the love of God, and when he speaks about his ministry and why he came into this world, we are to accept them and we are to believe them. And folks, when he speaks about hell as well, we are to accept and believe that what he is speaking about is a real, actual, literal place. When he speaks of hell, as he does in such terms here in this chapter, we are to take them as truth. Because every word from the Lord is truth. You might want to deny tonight the reality of hell. You do that, then you deny the honesty of Christ. Every word that Christ spoke was truth. And when he spoke about the glories of heaven, when he spoke to his disciples about going back to heaven to prepare a place for them, that's truth. We can believe that. But then when he comes in chapter 9 of Mark's Gospel and in other places as well to speak of the reality of this place called hell, then we must believe that as well. Because it comes from the words and from the lips of Christ himself. Hell is real tonight. Not because I say so. Hell is real tonight, not because as a church we believe it. Hell is real tonight because Christ spoke of it. Hell is also real tonight because of the nature of God. You know, hell is a repulse to so many tonight when considering the nature of God. Because as we pointed out in the past, the overwhelming view tonight, the popular view of God is that he is a God of love. And how could a God of love send anybody to hell? But, and we must never lose this, that before God is a God of love, God is a God of holiness. And God is a God of justice. God is of such purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He is pure, he is just, he is holy in all of his ways. He hates sin, and a just God punishes sin. And what hell essentially is God's final punishment and pronouncement on sin. And that punishment of sin is grounded, as we have sought to point out in the past, in the law of God. You see, tonight the sinner doesn't determine the standard. You go out onto the streets tonight. You go out into Ballyhackamore tonight and you ask, who's going to hell? You'll get a list of the murderers. They're going there. Those who commit the most awful of crimes, they'll go there. But I'm not going there because I'm all right. Well, we'll see in a moment just who's going to hell. And who right at this very moment is in that place. You see, the standard is not determined by the world. The standard and those who are lost in hell, the standard is determined by God. What is the standard? It is the law of God. What is crime? Crime is a breaking of the law of the land. You break the law of the land, you'll be punished. What is sin? Sin is a breaking of the law of God, and you break that law, you'll be punished. And yet the reality is tonight that we're all lawbreakers. By our very nature, by the very virtue of what we are, who we are by nature, we're all lawbreakers. We've all been born in sin. We've all broken the law of God. And sin is a reality tonight, not just because that Christ spoke of it, but because of the nature of God. It is the place where God will finally and forever punish sin. We talk about heaven being a prepared place. I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place. But you see, on the reverse of that, hell. Hell is also a prepared place. Heaven is a place prepared for those who are righteous, holy, in the sight of God, only righteous through the finished work of Christ. But hell also is a prepared place. Because back in Matthew's Gospel, in the chapter 25, and the verse 41, the Lord speaks about that last judgment. And he talks about those who were on his left hand. And he says to those in that final day of judgment, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Hell is a prepared place. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And all those tonight who are in the company of the one who they served on earth, they served him on earth, now they're in this eternal destruction with him in hell. You notice that it doesn't say that it was prepared for Adam and for Eve. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And all those who follow the devil's pathway and do the devil's bidding will likewise go to that prepared place where he already is. Let me turn you to Isaiah tonight. Back to the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And let's see why hell was and is prepared for the devil and his angels. Remember what we said, it's a prepared place, it's the final punishment and pronouncement on sin. Verse number 12, we read there, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell." What did the devil desire? He desired to be greater than God. He desired to put himself in the place of God. And if it were possible to climb above God, he was putting other gods before the true, the living God. That's a breaking of the law of God. And so hell was prepared initially not for people, but rather for the devil who broke the law of God. You see, all those who follow him, all those who live their lives and do his bidding on this earth, all those who likewise disobey God and break God's law and reject God's word and his gospel, they share the same hell because they've broken the same law and they've defied the nature of God and so incurred his wrath upon their sin. That's why hell is real tonight. Because God punishes sin. And back in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, listen. Listen to what the Lord says, what hell is like. The worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Hell exists. Hell is endless. These words speak of the escapeless, endless, enduring agonies of hell. Talks there about the worm dying not. And as the worms would cling to the dead, decaying body in the ground, so in hell, the worm of conscience and conviction and concern will cling to the sinner in hell. And in hell you will be reminded of every time you rejected and despised the instruction of God. In hell you will be reminded of every time you turned your back on God. Every time when the gospel invitation was given and the call was given, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, you'll be reminded of everything. That worm of conscience will gnaw at you and eat at you, and you will have no satisfaction and no rest from it. The rich man in hell speaks of being in torments. Torments. And tonight, if you reject Jesus Christ and you die as you live in your sin, you go out into a lost eternity, you will remember every gospel meeting you sat in. You'll remember every time somebody spoke to you about your need to be saved. You'll remember every time that some loved one shed tears over you and your salvation. You'll remember every time that people pleaded with you to get right with God. And that worm will gnaw away at you all the time. Hour after hour, day after day, month after month, year after year, for the countless ages of eternity. The fires of hell and the worm of conscience. You see, the fires there are eternal. They're not quenched. Do you know, for those who die out of Christ, go to a lost eternity, your one desire when you arrive in hell is that these fires will be put out. That these flames will be quenched. That you would get some relief. But tonight, I have to tell you, in the authority of the Word of God, there are no operations of grace in hell. God will not cool the fires of hell just for a moment. That moment that the sinner, the unbelieving sinner, dies and goes out into lost eternity and falls into the hands of the living God, and those hands then condemn them to a lost eternity for all eternity. And there will be no relief because those fires are eternal. The Lord is bringing out the real agony of hell, I believe, in these verses. He talks about cutting your hand off, cutting your foot off, and plucking your eye out. He says any earthly suffering or any earthly loss on this earth will not compare to the sufferings and the agonies of hell. Any loss that you have on this life is preferable to the agonies of being cast into hell. Any earthly loss is better. Go into hell. And maybe tonight you're weighing up all those things in your mind that you would lose if you got saved and came to Christ. Maybe tonight you're counting the cost of what it would mean for you to be saved and those things that you might lose. Stop counting the cost of being a Christian and start counting the cost of not being a Christian. Stop counting the cost of what it would mean for you to be saved. And tonight, please, sinner, please, will you start counting the cost of what it means for you to be lost and to go to a lost eternity where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? Because any earthly loss is better than going to hell. There's the reality of hell. But I want us for a moment to consider the residence of hell. Over in the book of Revelation, and the chapter 21, if you'll turn there for a moment. Revelation chapter 21. This chapter, of course, dealing with the new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. Dealing then as well with the judgment of the wicked, that great white throne of judgment, final judgment. In Revelation chapter 21 and the verse 8, here are detailed the residents of hell. Look what it says. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you notice who tops the list there in verse 8? The fearful. The unbelieving. Doesn't talk first of all about the idolaters and the murderers or the whoremongers, but first of all, the first residents that we come across in hell, the fearful, the unbelieving, those who feared man more than God, those who feared the reaction of man rather than fearing God and getting right with God. Those who through the fear of others have held you back from coming to Christ. That person tonight, that possession tonight, that's holding you in fear. And it's interesting actually in Scripture when you read about fear, it's always in connection with sin. Adam, when he sinned in the garden, he was fearful. He was separated from God. Is there someone in this meeting tonight and you fear what others would think if you were to get saved? And you're putting that other person before God. You're coveting your life, your satisfaction on this earth, more precious than giving your life to Jesus Christ. You don't want to give away that way of life. You don't want to give away that manner in which you're accustomed to living. You want to hold on to it. And for fear tonight, you're holding on to the old way of life rather than getting right with Christ. The fearful like the Felixes of this world who trembled but feared man more than God. The fearful who like the Agrippas of this world, who said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Agrippa was obviously under great conviction and great concern But there was something or someone holding him back. Is that you tonight? You've been under conviction and you know you need to be saved, but there's just someone holding you back. Someone who you fear more than God. That fear of man brings a snare and will bring you at last to hell. The fearful and the unbelieving. Maybe tonight you say, I don't need this gospel. I'm all right the way I am. I'm a fine, upright citizen. And the gospel doesn't apply to me. I don't need to believe the gospel. And yet tonight the unbelieving, those who reject the gospel, not outwardly or openly, but just in their own quiet way, they are also residents of hell. Oh, they live perfect lives here on this earth, fine citizens, couldn't fault them. And yet, they didn't believe the gospel. The fearful, the abominable. Then it goes on to list the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. Those people that you would never associate with on this earth, you will share heaven with, or share hell with. Those people, if they walk down the street, you would cross the other side of the road to avoid them. Such is their way of life. There'll be no getting away from such in hell. There's no levels in hell, no classes in hell. You turn your back on God openly, privately, deliberately or not so, you reject Jesus Christ, and whatever way you do it, you'll share hell with all other Christ rejectors. You see, all sin is sin in the sight of God. John talks about seeing the dead small and great. The small sinners, and maybe they're small sinners in this meeting tonight. And you're just committing little sins. The Bible says the dead, small and great, stand before God in the final day of judgment, that great white throne of judgment, and you will all be condemned to a lost eternity. Those whose names were not found written in the book of life, as we read at the end of Revelation chapter 20. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Into that place where there is no release, and that place where there is no reprieve, and into that place where there is no return. You see, the Bible brings before us, and even as we have been reading there in Revelation 21 and the verse 8, the Bible brings before us there are many ways that lead to hell. And many pathways that you can walk to hell. You can walk that way of fearing man rather than God. You can walk that way of abomination. You can walk that way of idol worship. You can walk that way of lying. Doesn't matter what way you walk, you're all going the same way. Many ways to hell, but not one way out of it. Let me ask you tonight, where is your future residency? Heaven? Or hell? Are you saved tonight? There is the reality of hell, the residence of hell, but we come to the conclusion tonight, we think of the remedy from hell. What do you need to do to go to hell? What do you need to do to lose your soul in a lost eternity? Nothing. Nothing. You see, the moment we were born on that pathway that leads to destruction. Broad is the way. And tonight, that way is still broad that leads to everlasting destruction. What do you need to do to go to hell? Nothing. But what do you need to do to escape hell? Well, let's very simply, very plainly use the words of Christ Himself. What did He say? What were His first words on His earthly ministry? Repent and believe the gospel. Except thou all likewise perish. Repent and believe the gospel. Run to Jesus Christ. Flee from the wrath of God tonight by running to Christ in salvation. Because you see on the cross, Christ endured the fire of God's wrath and the flames of hell during those hours of darkness. He endured that flame and that fire for all those who will trust Him and believe Him. And He took God's wrath there on the cross that you might receive God's welcome to heaven. But you turn your back on it tonight. You reject Jesus Christ. There is no escape. There is no other remedy. The wrath of God for the sinner in hell will never be satisfied. Thank God tonight on the cross, that wrath that Christ endured for us was satisfied. It came to an end. He made a full and a perfect atonement for sin. And tonight He is your only refuge from your sin. He is your way from hell and your way to heaven. But tonight you reject Him. And tonight you live on in your sin and you die as you were and you go out into God's eternity and you're cast into the lake of fire. God's wrath will never be satisfied there because those flames of His wrath and His punishment burn for all eternity. Tonight you need to run to Christ. Tonight you need to flee from the wrath that is to come. You need to get to God's Son tonight, whom He raised from the dead, as Paul tells us, that we might be delivered from the wrath that is to come. These verses speak of entering into life. Verse 43, back in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, speak about entering into life. Verse 47 speaks about entering into the kingdom. Oh, sinner, tonight you need to enter into life. And you need to enter into the kingdom and you need to get to Christ. those who were in that bank building on Tuesday morning were given a warning. They were told that there's a fire at the top of the building. You need to get out. You need to get away. And thankfully, they were all got out safely. No lives lost. What a fool some of them would have been if they had stayed in that building. If they didn't heed the warning to get away and to get to a place of safety. And yet tonight in the gospel, that's exactly what you're doing. You are failing to heed the warning and to obey Jesus Christ. Or you think that God's wrath has been delayed and will never touch you. But there is a day coming when God's wrath, if it's not repented of, will eventually catch up with you as you burn in the flames of hell. Oh, tonight you need to get to Christ. Tonight you need to get to God's Son. We read there in Isaiah chapter 14 about why the devil was cast into hell. There's a verse in that chapter, I preached on it a few years back during the time of our gospel mission. And applies tonight. And it talks about hell. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. What if tonight, and I say this with as much love and tenderness to your heart, what if tonight hell were moved to meet thee? If hell opened for thee tonight to receive you. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, for those who have lost their souls in hell, what will they give in exchange? What would they give to trade places? I'll tell you what they would give. Nothing. And the reality is that those tonight who are lost realize that there is nothing that they can exchange for their soul and for their place in hell. They didn't believe on earth, but they believed in hell. Hell is endless. Hell is eternal. The flame, the fire, there is not quenched. And I say humbly, tenderly to your soul tonight, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is your future. This is your destiny. Audie Murphy was one of the most decorated American soldiers of World War II. A man who just about received every possible award that could have been received by a soldier in the American army. Such were his skills and his ability in the field of battle. And he talks about seeing and witnessing and experiencing some of the most horrific scenes on the battlefields of World War II. After he came home from service, he wrote his memoirs. He wrote a book. And he entitled that book, To Hell and Back. After he was in the army, he then went on to have an acting career. And that book then was put into film, and Audie Murphy actually starred in the very movie that he wrote the book about, To Hell and Back. It's very graphic. I watched a little of it during the week. It's gruesome, to say the least. Audie Murphy and many others went to the battlefields, witnessed some of the most horrific scenes, and he came back, and others with him, from that place that he called hell. But the hell of the Bible, there is no returning from. There is no way out. Hell is the place of no return. Whatever you do tonight, wherever you go tonight, don't go to hell. Rather tonight, run to Jesus Christ. Be saved. Tonight, the choice is either God's Son or God's hell. Which is it? And tonight, if hell is from beneath, is moved to meet thee. Get to Christ tonight. And don't let anybody or anyone stand in your way. Flee. Flee from wrath. Come to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. I wonder tonight, God has been speaking to you, challenging you. You realize tonight you're bound for a lost eternity. And you need tonight to get saved. Then why not this evening come? And don't let anybody keep you back. Don't let any fear of anybody else hold you back. Come tonight and receive eternal life that is offered through Jesus Christ. I haven't had any pleasure in bringing this message tonight. These are hard things for any preacher to have to talk about. And yet I must be faithful to your soul. Tonight, flee. Get to Christ. Are you coming to him tonight? Are you coming to Christ? Lest this night find you in a lost eternity. You want to speak to us? Then please do that. And get this matter settled. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be pleased this evening to work on, speak on, and strive on. Save, O God, we ask, and snatch sinners as a brand from the burning tonight. Do thine own work. In thine own name we pray. Amen.